Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, it's one and done as we whittle our way down to the Dome contenders. We'll get you primed and pumped for quarterfinal action across South Dakota, plus we'll set you up for the semis in All Nations action. All coming up next on Game Time.
And welcome back to another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason and Dara. Halloween week?
Yeah, a little scary for some teams,
yeah,
I think.
It certainly is. And when you look at where we're at, we obviously had the playoffs start last week for 9-man and 11-B. We had the regular season conclude for the three top 11-man classes. So it is quarter final week for high school football in South Dakota. Semifinal week for All Nations. Doesn't really get much better than
that. It gets a little better coming up soon, but it continues. It's as good as it's been all season long. And I think, you know, we didn't have a ton of great games last week in the first round. There were a few road teams that won, a couple of upsets, a couple of close games. But this week, we really start to see some great matchups.
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to going through this. We're going to go through all of the seven classes for high school football. We'll go through those All-Nations brackets as well and get everybody ready for the week.
We break up the routine a little bit. We're not necessarily talking about game changers and top tilts because they're all top tilts. And every game we talk about, we're going to talk about some of the performances from last week. So we're just going to go game by game, Nate, and see what happens.
All right, well, let's get into it. Why don't we start with the 9-man classes? We'll start with 9B right away. We've got a big one taking place, a regular season rematch, state championship rematch from a year ago, and that's with Sully Buttes and Faulkton.
Yeah, this could be the game to watch in 9B. Sully Buttes and Faulkton have played, I think, this is the fourth time in the last 2 years that they've gone up against each other. Fifth matchup in the last three seasons. Sully Buttes won in the regular season on that last second play, if you remember, but Faulkton kind of had control of that game for a while after Sully Buttes got off to a good start. So we've seen both teams do really well in this. You know, they're both really excited just to be in this position. Yeah. I think Sully Buttes would have liked to have been a higher seed coming in, but they know, hey, they made their bed. Now it's time to see if they can play out of it just like they did last year in this time.
Right. A year ago, we saw Sully Buttes gradually get better every single week. And that offensive line that maybe had some questions during the regular season, they figured it out in the playoffs, and it really was a big key factor in Sully Buttes' success last year.
Yeah, I contacted both coaches. They're basically expecting the same thing that they have gotten used to over the last couple of years. Well-coached teams, it's going to come down to some of the small things. So Faulkton, very happy to be at home for this one. That could be a huge factor in this one, but they really have their hands full with some good players on both sides. Wesley Whitler having an all-state type of year again, and Spencer Melius has stepped up his game for Faulkton as well. Yeah, the rest of 9B, though, has some good games as well. Corsica Stickney won on the road last week, and so they get to go play the top seed St. Mary Cardinals. They haven't faced each other since 2021, so that could be interesting. But this Corsica Stickney game or team really gritted one out last week, but St. Mary's the heavy favorite.
I think this is going to be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how Corsica Stickney, you know, goes on the road. You know, they had to go on the road last week as well. And again, going on the road again, trying to be that road warriors team, I guess you could say.
It's going to be tough, though, playing against St. Mary's for sure. And that'll be in a matinee game in the afternoon. Sioux Falls Lutheran with a rematch against Avon. They played back in week two. Avon handled them by 42 points. I know Coach Lucas thinks this is going to be different this time. You know, anytime you play a team twice, it's going to be interesting. But this Avon team is just big, and they're going to be tough to beat. And then Harriet Selby area taking on Coleman Egan. You know, I always think back to that championship game in 2019 when they played on the Brookings Field, and Harriet Selby was just kind of an upstart then, and Coleman Egan had some really good teams. It's kind of developed into a rivalry, but this could be one of the best games of all 9B.
Yeah, and it's a 6-3 matchup, and it'll be taking place in Coleman Egan. So Coleman Egan getting the home field advantage here for this one.
Josh Schuyler, the HSA coach, said he's a little concerned about having an 80-yard field. He didn't know there were still 80-yard fields, but there is in Coleman Egan. He said that they mowed an 80-yard field into their practice field to get ready for this week. So they'll be ready for that at least.
We've heard of coaches pumping crowd noise in and things like that to prepare them
mowing
themselves.
Mowing the field to an 80-yard, I like that.
That's a new one. I like it.
Good one.
Let's move on to 9A. What do you like with these quarterfinal matchups?
Yeah, Andy? So first of all, Castlewood has been on an absolute roll. I think they've come in with as much confidence as any 8 seed could, but they've got to go across the state and play against Wall, a team that last year in the quarterfinals, Wall waxed them.
You know, do they just kind of look like a well-oiled machine? Because on paper, at times, they really look like they're well-oiled at times. Is it in person? What did you see?
They do, but just listening to their head coach, Lex Heathershaw, talk, he's like, you know, everybody's kind of projecting us to be this invincible team. And he goes, we're like any other top team. We've got some holes. And he wants to protect against overconfidence, and he knows that Castlewood comes in with a really good team as well. They just have the one loss early in the season. So they're well-oiled, but they can always break down on the side of the road.
And then we've got Ipswich. We talked about them kind of being a scrappy team, a little pesky, and they're going to be going on the road to take on Philip here in the quarters.
Yeah, if there's a road upset, I think this might be the one. Ipswich is looking really good. Philip, great team as well, but Ipswich with Kyle Hedick and Casey Gideitz have been awesome. Not much series history in this one, but I really like the Tigers. And then when we talk about the 2-7 matchup, maybe the game to watch, you got Warner and Howard, two teams. You know, they played in the semis last year. Howard won it 40-13, but Warner hasn't lost since that meeting. And both teams come in with really young teams. That's one thing Pat Rummel reminded me of, is that between the two teams, I think we have 8 seniors in this game.
Man, that's insane. Yeah, and both teams obviously have a storied history with football, a lot of success. This is two good programs that know what they're doing, that are preparing this week, and they'll both bring their A game.
I think the winner of this game, like, has their sights set on the dome. They really think that they can do anything that anybody else in this class can. And then that last matchup, Platte Geddes taking on Alcester Hudson. Platte Geddes kind of overachieving, I think, a little bit this year, having a really good year. They were one of our under-the-radar teams early in the year and have come on strong. And then Alcester Hudson, you know, another team that's played a really tough schedule. Their only 2 losses this year were to number 1 teams. You know, right. St. Mary's and Freeman are their only 2 losses this year. So they've got to feel like, hey, we've got more left in the tank. We want something to prove.
So 9AA, topping off the final class here in 9-man. What are we seeing here?
Well, Kimball White Lake, another one of those road victories we talked about last week. You know, they've won 4 in a row now, including a win last week over Britton Heckley, where they got up to a 14-0 lead and then just kind of put the clamps down on defense. And that's something Kimball White Lake can do. But Freeman Academy is just in a different category, I think, right now. They've got some really good players. I looked at their stats, and they've gotten 10 defensive and special teams touchdowns so far this year. So not only about this offense that we've talked about all year, that Dustin Cheddar and the sophomore receivers have been, you know, Easton Cheddar and David Walter have been stepping up, but defensively they've been one of the best teams as well.
Yeah, Coach Cheddar has done an outstanding job there with the Phoenix. And then we've also got Hamlin traveling west to take on Hill City. And Hill City, man, did you see that long field goal from this past week?
Yes.
52 yards, I believe it was. How many times do you see a 52-yard field goal in 9-man football?
You know, if it's on that 80-yard field, you're kicking from your own, what? I don't want to do the math, but your own side of the field, and you're making a field goal. That's crazy. But this one could have easily been flipped after they redid the tiebreakers and announced one schedule. We thought this game might be in Hamlin. Well, now it's in Hill City, correctly. And Hill City has nothing but respect for Hamlin. And you can tell they're a team that really feels like we've probably went as far or further than we thought we could with this team this year. And everything from here on out, we're just going to lay it on the table and see what happens. They know they're playing an elite talent in Jackson Wadsworth and Bowden Stevenson, two of the finest pass connection players in 9-man football. But I just feel like being at home, like, anything can happen here. I think Hamlin's probably a better team, but anything can happen here.
Yeah, it should be another fun one. And then you got Bonham going to Parkston. What do you like with this matchup with the 6-3?
Well, they played earlier this year, and Parkston put up 70 on them. If that doesn't stick in your craw a little bit, if you're Bonham, I don't know. You maybe need to change sports. So I think they're going to come out motivated in this one to make sure they can handle this Parkston offense. But I think this Parkston team is probably a team we've overlooked maybe just a little bit. Lost the opening day to Freeman by 2 scores, and haven't lost since. And they've done it with a huge junior group, just five seniors on this Parkson team. So I really like them. And then Hanson and Lake Benton, Elkton Lake Benton, another great matchup. They played last year in this exact same round, and Elkton Lake Benton got by them. Hanson, with that road win last week, is feeling they're in a good spot. They've liked their quarterback. Stetson Riggs has had an awesome year. But defensively, I think Hanson's going to have their hands full with Elliot Erickson and Colt Beck.
Yeah, we've talked about Elkton Lake Benton this year and how that defense has sort of been a little bit of their identity at times. So that'll certainly be another one to keep our eye on. And then we move into the 11B side and go over some of the, you know, some of the results that we saw from round one into this week here in the quarters. You know, obviously Sioux Valley going down I-29 to take on Elk Point Jefferson. That's one right there where Elk Point Jefferson, I think, is going to be ready to go.
I think Elk Point Jefferson respects Sioux Valley as much as anybody in 11B right now. They don't look at that 8 seed and say, oh, this is a quarterfinal matchup, we should win. They respect them as much as anybody. And I think Sioux Valley, the way they've played the last couple of weeks, the way Mitchell Guthmiller has really led this group, and they've really started to gel on that defensive side. Both teams just want to control the game on the ground. So this is almost comes down to, if you're controlling your drives, you got to make sure you punch them in. And whichever team punches those touchdowns and converts those touchdowns against a really good defense is going to get this thing done. They just played a couple of weeks ago. EPJ won 41-26, but this was probably a closer game than that score reflects. These are two really good teams.
And then you got Duell that's going to be hosting Wagner as well this week in 11B. Duell's another team that, man, seems like we're talking about them every week. And Wagner, too. I mean, Wagner's got some serious playmakers, and this one could be interesting.
Both of these two teams really need a solid win against a good opponent, and this would qualify, I think, for either team to get a win here. Wagner 7-2, Duell at 8-1. Duell, you know, they've done it with Gavin Close all season long, but what I like about them is they have as much or more balance than anybody. When you talk about Wagner's balance, they're talking about Gannon Knabel. Yeah. Is he going to run at you or is he going to pass at you? With Duell, they have several different players that can make plays down the field. So really, I think it's going to come down to turnovers in this one. Last week, Duell created 5 turnovers against McCook Central Montrose, and that really was the difference in the game. If they can do anything like that against Gannon Knabel, they've got a shot. But I like both these teams in this matchup.
And then we got Mount Vernon Plankinton making the trip out west to Rapid City to take on St. Thomas More. This is a St. Thomas More team that came into the season with very, very high expectations. And, you know, being the 2 seed, they're sitting in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I love this matchup because they played last year at this time in the quarterfinals, and St. Thomas More was kind of upstart. And they got a big upset road win last year in this one. That's what it would take for MVP this year to return the favor. MVP is really looking forward to it. A great opportunity. They know they're going against an extremely talented team. And they've got guys like Kyle Sandlin and Tice Feissner who've had big years. But on the St. Thomas More side, you know, you've had a stretch of games where you haven't really had to put the pedal to the metal. Now you all of a sudden got to turn it up a notch. We'll see if they can. I imagine they are chomping at the bit, ready for a quality opponent in MVP.
And then we've got Winner traveling.
Yeah,
to
Winner?
Yeah, seriously. We talked about them early in the year, and we're like, man, are they just not quite the same team? And then look what they did last week.
They took out Woonsocket at Westington Springs, Sanborn Central, and the way they did it, a special teams punt block touchdown to open the game, and then playing with the lead against a good team like that, they gave up a little, but they were able to control the game, and that's Winner's game. So if you're Clark Willow Lake and you've got some explosive players like they do, and Joey Reese and Emerson Larson, Cooper Palmer, all these guys, I want to get out to a lead against Winner and make them change the way they play, because the deeper this game goes where it's close, Winner's got a chance, but I really like Clark Willow Lake.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about some of the stuff real quick that went on this past weekend before we get into the 11A, 11AA, 11AAA portions of what games to look for here in the quarterfinal round. Busy week for high school sports and activities here in South Dakota. There was the state cheer and dance championships from the Civic Arena in Watertown this past weekend on Friday and Saturday. And then Saturday here on Broadland Creek Golf Course was hosting the state cross country meet. We had the privilege of going to both of them.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I guess kind of take us through. Obviously, you know, on Friday night we saw with Cheer and Dance, Sioux Valley winning, I believe it was their 19th straight cheer championship in Class A. You had Dakota Valley, I believe, won their 16th or 17th straight with dance. And then you had Harrisburg win on Saturday in Double A cheer, Brandon Valley winning in Double A dance. But what an event. I mean, they pack people in there, and everybody just, the support that the kids show for each other is something that you don't see on a football
field.
Yeah,
I tapped you over, and I'm like, because I don't go to a lot of cheer and dance competitions. I did enjoy them. But I tapped you, and I'm like, is this normal? They're cheering on the other team's hometown cheer. And he's like, yeah, this is what happens. Great, great idea. And all those teams, so much pride in what they do. You can tell all the work and dedication it takes to even, you know, get your team to state, let alone some of these dynasties like Sioux Valley and Dakota Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had the privilege of going on Saturday to state cross country as well. We saw Micah Peters winning a title in Class AA boys. Brianna Riley, an eighth grader, now has won back-to-back in Class AA girls. Tate Grabow goes back-to-back with individual titles in Class A boys. Ellie Maddox, future Duke player, a Duke runner, she had an impressive performance in the Class A girls race. And then Class B boys, Silas Holdeman of Mitchell Christian, he got the victory. And then Ella Bokelhide of Northwestern, tremendous runner for her. Well, we'd also like to invite you to join us again tomorrow night as we premiere this year's version of Tales from the Gridiron. Jandy, you and I both had an opportunity to work on this show. We went to Avon, Brandon Valley, Wall, Mobridge Pollock, and also Lakota Tech to share some of the feature stories that don't necessarily pertain to what you see on the scoreboards and that kind of thing. Well, should we get back to some quarterfinal preview?
We've got, three more quarterfinals and a couple of quick semifinals to look at with All Nations, so stay with us through the rest of this show. It should be good.
So let's start with Sioux Falls Christian. In Class 11A has just been steamrolling all year long. And Rapid City Christian comes away with that 8 seed in 11A, because with Canton dropping the game to Tri-Valley last week, that put Rapid City Christian up now into the playoffs. And Rapid City Christian coming across the state to take on top-seeded Sioux Falls
Christian. For the second time this year, Rapid City Christian, you know, doesn't have as a complete team as they've had over the last couple of years, but they can be pesky. But Sioux Falls Christian, really one of the best defenses I've seen. And when their sophomore quarterback played as well, that was the question going into the year, is how would their quarterback play go? When that went well, you knew it would be a good year for the Chargers.
Then you got West Central going to Madison. You know, West Central, they've had some weeks where they've looked really good. Then they might have like a surprise box score in there from here on out. But I think when you really take back some of the layers, this should be a good game.
Oh, it should be. And these two teams didn't play in the regular season. Usually, you know, they play almost every year, but the last 2 years haven't played. But West Central does have a 4-game winning streak against Madison. So that's in the back of their mind somewhere. But West Central, you know, getting some great play from their quarterback Carter Gross. Madison, I think we don't talk about how good their line is sometimes. We always talk about the Wienhoffs, but their line, they're able to produce some plays, and if they are forced to run because of the weather or whatever in these next couple weeks, that's something they can do. That's in their bag. So they might need to pull that out against West Central.
Should be a good one, too, for the fans. Don't have to travel too far from West Central up to Madison. So it should be a good one as far as overall fan support as well. And then Milbank, kind of a team that's come alive here late, and they're going to go to take on number 2-seeded Del Rapids.
Yeah, Milbank, you know, I kind of ignored them a little bit just because their schedule's a little different than some of these teams around here. But then when they got that win against West Central, we woke up a little bit. We realized, hey, we got a 6-3 team with Braylon Bauscher, a really good quarterback, a lot of seniors on this team. Their defense has been great, 19 takeaways so far this year. I really like what they bring to the table. But Del Rapids, you know, back on September 19th, did get the win 36-7, and I think they've got enough confidence, and they know the key and how to win this game. And I think the Quarriors have enough to get it done, but it's a really scary team in Milbank.
Yeah, that's a team that's getting a little bit hot at that time. And if you're an opponent of that, it sometimes gets a little weary when you're in kind of the line of a team that's starting to play their best football at the best time of year. And then Lennox, a team that a few weeks ago we legitimately said they might not make the playoffs, and here they're sitting as the 3 seed in the quarters.
Well, that's what Sean Flanagan says, is he almost doesn't care what they do in the regular season as long as they put themselves in position to make a run at the end of the year. And last year, they kind of didn't have a good end of the regular season, but they still found a way to turn it around. And right now it feels like they've started a little earlier turning things around. Their defense is playing really well. They're getting just a little better every week, and that's what Sean Flanagan really stresses in this one. One thing I have to say is Leif Carlson. I was looking through their stats too. 16 sacks this year for Leif Carlson.
That's incredible.
I don't know a high school. First of all, high school runs a lot more than college and pros. Really hard to get 16 sacks. He has been phenomenal on the defensive side.
A coach's dream to have a guy like that with a motor.
But they have several guys up front. Jevin Leffers and all these, like, they've got a really good line, and you know, it's not just, you know, a big Drew Mickelson fest with them and Ramsey Williams and all these guys who get the touchdowns. Really good overall team.
Yeah, and usually when you got a guy that's putting up 16 sacks, there's a lot of other success and pushes happening that are releasing an individual like that to get home, as they say.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that one as well. It'll be interesting as 11A gets underway here this week. And then 11AA, a little bit of some shifting around as to where things were a week ago as far as the seed points and stuff like that. But hey, that's been 11AA all year.
Par for the course. We are expecting that. Spearfish taking the road to take on Yankton. These two teams haven't played, you know, in the last cycle, so they'll be a little bit new to each other. But Spearfish are a really tough team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, maybe not as much depth as Yankton, but they can match up tough-wise. And Yankton, one of the best passing teams we have in 11AA. So I'm hoping to get to that game on Thursday night. We'll see if that works out. But I'm really looking forward to any of these 11AA matchups.
And then you got Watertown going out west to take on Sturgis. I mean, Sturgis, they beat Yankton a few weeks ago. So
Yankton,
you can't take any opponent for granted when it comes to 11AA.
Beat Spearfish last week to lock in that, to jump up to that four spot. Watertown head coach John Hodor, if I was talking to him at Cheer and Dance, he's like, how does that work? We beat them head-to-head. We have the same record, and yet we still have to go on the road. So, you know, it's because of the three-way tie and how things worked out tiebreak-wise. But I think that gives them a little extra juice. The state defending champs having to go out to Sturgis. Sturgis is a little banged up ever since they lost Sully Jost. But they, you know, that's going to be a classic 11AA matchup. It could go any which way.
And then last week we saw Huron having to go to Brookings, lose to Brookings, which moves Huron from that 1 seed down to the 2 seed. So now Huron's the 2 seed here in the quarterfinal rounds. And who do they play right out the gate? 7-seeded Brookings, same team 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, we ran into Drew Strand too and said, you know, we got good defense, but we got bruised up front the way that Bergen Tetzloff just ran it right down our throats. I think they'll be ready for it a little bit more this week. And Huron had a few things that, you know, could have went their way that didn't quite go their way. I still think Huron's probably a better team here, but Brookings showed they can play with them, showed that they can beat them. And Brookings head coach Carter Gordon said that's the first, maybe second time we've really played together as a team this year. So they know they have that in them to beat a team like Huron.
And then you've got the Peer Governors that are hosting a playoff game. We weren't sure a few weeks ago if they would maybe be hosting, but here they are. They're hosting a quarterfinal game, and they've got the T-Area Titans heading to the state capital.
Yeah, Jaron Deal last week against Douglas threw 3 more touchdowns at quarterback. He seems to be the guy that they're going to run with going forward, so that gives them a new angle. T-Area, you know, they're two of their best players didn't play at all last week, and Mitch Grant and Brenner Conrad, so they're trending in the wrong direction. Pierce trending in the up direction. If there's any game I would feel the most confident about, which I don't feel confident about anything in 11AA, but it would be this game. This Peer team looks really good.
Yeah, Peer always seems to start figuring it out when it gets to the postseason. It'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds and just sort of see how Peer and T-Area both sort of respond in this kind of a game.
It's going to be a great class to watch, for sure.
11AAA, we've got Brandon Valley as the number 1 seed. They did lose last week to Sioux Falls Jefferson on a last-second field goal. But as we were kind of talking and texting that night last Thursday, the seed points were already sort of locked in, and Brandon Valley could have lost and still stayed at number
one. And Matt
one.
Christensen made it a point to say, we didn't rest anybody. We treated it like we would any other game. But the players, knowing they have that locked up in the mm-hmm. back of their head, you know, they got their backup quarterback, Will Van Leeuwer, going, you know, they probably just let down a little bit. They didn't finish off some tackles they needed to. That's probably the best motivator they'll have going into practice this week, is like, hey, if we don't play 100%, we can lose to anybody, especially Jefferson, who's a really good team.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jefferson, you know, just to give them some credit too, they are a very well-polished team. They had some impressive wins. You know, they beat Harrisburg a few weeks ago in a really impressive matchup. Sioux Falls Jefferson is a good football team.
Yeah, and Eddie Mobley came up with a really timely interception. They also were going with their backup quarterback, kind of their backup quarterback, Kaysen Metegar. He's got some packages he plays on a normal basis, but he had to go full-time last week. And how about their kicker? I mean, Braden Erickson going 2 weeks now with a game-winning kick. Just happens to be the nephew of Adam Vinatieri.
Ice in his veins,
no,
then?
don't make any mixed feelings about that. He's a guy who they can rely on in the waning moments.
So then the number two seeded team is, of course, Sioux Falls Lincoln, and they've got Rapid City Central that is coming to Howard Wood Field this week.
They didn't play their best last week against Harrisburg, but this is kind of a get-right week for them. They should roll. And then Washington Jefferson, this is the game I think a lot of people are talking about. These two teams, you know, played earlier this year. Jefferson's actually won every single game in the history of their school against Washington. But with this Washington
That's
team,
<crazy. laughs>
don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if they give Jefferson trouble. I mean, they've been a really good team, especially over the last month. And then Harrisburg and O'Gorman, mm-hmm. they play almost every single year, it feels like, in the playoffs over the last decade or so. You know, they played back the very first week of the season, and Jason Poppinga, to quote him, said, "We stole one in Harrisburg. This time they're going to have to take it to them. They're not going to be able to steal one late. They're two different teams."
Yeah, there's been some similarities here as we've kind of gone through this. We've had some teams that are matching up now where they've played really early in the season, and absolutely, I think every coach will tell you, teams are way different when you get to the late part of October than where they were, you know, that late part of August.
Very much so.
Should we talk about a little bit of the All Nations? Because they're in the semifinals now.
Semis now, and Marty taking on McLaughlin. McLaughlin, the only undefeated team in 9B this year. They played back in the regular season. McLaughlin only won 18-14. This is one of their tougher games this year, so that'll be a challenge. And then T.S. Pazina and White River going at it. White River really, you know, since they switched to All Nations, the football program is really elevated.
Yeah, it sure has. Last year for White River was their first year in the All Nations Football Conference, and they got to the Dome in that first year. And now you're seeing them building even more and trying to refuel, recharge. White River, known for basketball, is starting to get things figured out with their football team.
Yeah, their only loss was a 2-point loss to McLaughlin, and we might see a rematch of that
coming up
next week. We'll see.
And then, of course, T.O. Spazino, let's give them some props too, because they were the 6th seed. Omaha Nation was the team that was the higher seed there in the quarterfinal round, and T.O. Spazina picks up the
win. Not just an upset, a 52-8 upset. So they are playing really well. White River definitely can't look past T.O. Spazina.
And then when we move to the 9A side for All Nations, we've got Winnebago down in Nebraska, and they are hosting Machpelah here in the semifinals. And then it's Todd County hosting Little Wound. Todd County, Little Wound, I'm really excited for that game to see how that one goes.
Yeah, I think those are the two most improved teams this year. Little Wound with Riley Casey throwing the ball all over the place. In fact, he threw for over 300 yards the first time they played against each other and lost the game. So Todd County knows, you know, they've got their hands full with him, but they can beat him even if he does go off. This could be one of the best matchups of all the All-Nations semifinal games.
And, of course, we're going to be broadcasting the All-Nations Football Conference Championships again this year. It'll be actually on semifinal night for the SDHSAA's side of football. So a lot of football that Friday night in the first Friday of November. It's going to be pretty incredible to see how, you know, who's going to walk away with those All-Nations Championships and who's going to punch their tickets to the Dome when it comes to the other 7 classes of high school football.
I think we did it. Got through a lot of games, half as many games next week, but twice the excitement, I think, once we get to semifinals.
Yeah, it's been fun, and we got the semifinals coming up next week for high school football. We're primed and ready for it. This is going to be a lot of fun. So he's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck. We will see you next week on Game Time.